Have you ever wondered why Jesus, being God, prayed to the Father? If Jesus is God, why did he need to pray? These are questions that many believers and non-believers struggle with. In this video, we'll explore these profound questions, uncovering the deep relationship between Jesus and God the Father, and revealing powerful truths about prayer that can transform your spiritual journey. Stay with us as we delve into the mysteries of the Trinity and the significance of Jesus' prayers. This video will not only clarify theological doubts, but also provide practical insights into how understanding Jesus' prayer life can enrich your own. You'll learn how to deepen your relationship with God, just as Jesus did, and find strength and guidance through prayer in your daily life. As Christians and followers of Jesus, we regard him as our Savior, Healer, Giver, Liberator, and God. However, the Bible records several instances where Jesus personally prayed to his Father in heaven. This might seem contradictory, doesn't it? In Mark 1:35, it is said, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Even in the final moments of his earthly life, Jesus continued to pray to the Father. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke 23:34. This communication between Jesus and God the Father confuses many, both believers and non-believers alike. Questions arise like, did Jesus claim to be God? To get the answer to this question, stay with us until the end of this video. But now, let's explore this intriguing question. How can Jesus be one with God and yet pray to God as we do? To understand Jesus as God on earth praying to the Father in heaven, we need to recognize that the eternal Father and the eternal Son had an eternal relationship before Jesus took on human form. Please read John 5:19-27, especially verse 23, where Jesus teaches that the Father sent the Son so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. In fact, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him, John 5:23. Jesus did not become the Son of God when he was born in Bethlehem. He has always been the Son of God, God from eternity, and always will be. Isaiah 9:6 tells us that a child is born to us and a son is given to us. Jesus has always been part of the Trinity along with the Holy Spirit. The Trinity has always existed, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Not three gods, but one God existing in three persons. Jesus taught that he and his Father are one, John 10:30. Meaning that he and his Father are of the same substance and essence. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are three co-equal persons existing as God. These three had, and continue to have, an eternal relationship. As God-man, he had to learn obedience to the Father, being tempted by Satan, falsely accused by men, rejected by his people, and finally crucified, Hebrews 5:8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. So why did Jesus pray? There are several reasons why Jesus, despite being fully God, prayed to the Father. One of the main reasons is that he prayed for the benefit of others. In John 11:41-42, when Jesus raised Lazarus, he prayed, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Before raising Lazarus, I prayed. One of the reasons I prayed to the Father was for the benefit of those around me. I prayed aloud so that people would believe that the Father sent me, that the Father told me what to do and say, and that I always acted in perfect dependence on the Father. Here again, we highlight the essential union between God the Father and me, the Lord Jesus Christ. I prayed to demonstrate my dependence on God. My prayers showed my trust in the Father in my humanity, to carry out the Father's plan of redemption, as evidenced in my high priestly prayer in John 17. My prayers showed that I completely submitted to the Father's will, which was to go to the cross and bear the penalty of death for breaking God's law. Of course, I physically rose from the grave and secured forgiveness and eternal life for those who repent and believe in me as the Savior. I prayed because I depended on God, my Father. I came to do only what the Father wanted me to do. In John 6:38, I said, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. After healing a man who had been unable to walk all his life, I declared, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." John 5:19. When I had difficult decisions to make, such as choosing my first 12 disciples, I withdrew and prayed alone. In Luke 6:12, it is written that I went to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. I taught that prayer is necessary to accomplish certain difficult things, such as healing some people. In Mark 9:28-29, when asked why they could not drive out a spirit, I replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." On the night I was arrested, I went to Gethsemane and prayed fervently. Matthew 26:36 narrates, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' I prayed because, being human, I needed my Father's help, and I prayed because I enjoyed talking to my Father in heaven. Sons and daughters should enjoy conversations with their parents, and I was no exception. Perhaps the greatest prayer recorded in the Bible was made by me the night before I was crucified. In that prayer, I did not pray only for myself and my first disciples, but also for Christians like you who would come later in history. I felt blessed to be able to communicate with God and was excited to intercede for people like you and me. I also prayed to teach everyone how to pray. My disciples once asked me to teach them to pray. The prayer known as the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew 6:9-13, and I taught it by saying, 'And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I always considered it a privilege to be able to talk to God the Father. More than just giving us the right words to say, I taught through my life how important prayer is. I like to pray alone, very early in the morning, as recorded in Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Remember how I often withdrew to pray alone. When I did this, my disciples observed, they knew that no one ever had a closer relationship with God the Father than I did. They learned that if it was important for me to pray, it should also be important for them. Prayer is a form of worship. The key to understanding how I could pray to God the Father lies in Hebrews 2:17. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. One of the essential vocations of all people is to pray. I was fully human, in addition to being fully God, and it was perfectly fitting that I should pray to the Father in heaven. There are several reasons why, as a human, I prayed to the Father. First, all people are called to worship God, and prayer is a form of worship. As our high priest, I intercede on behalf of God's people. In Hebrews 2:17, it is written that it was essential that I be made like my brothers, humanity in every respect, so that I could, by experience, become a merciful and faithful high priest in matters related to God, to make atonement for the sins of the people. I prayed to the Father to enjoy the communion of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Bible simply says that I prayed, but other times we see a glimpse of something more. After my baptism, I prayed, and the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on me in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. "You are my Son, whom I love. "With you, I am well pleased." I prayed to God the Father because it was an appropriate, natural, and essential part of my mission on earth. My prayers set an example for you to grow in intimacy with our Heavenly Father. I am fully God and fully human. The Bible is clear about these two truths. There is only one God, and Jesus Christ is that God. Although I am fully God, the Bible says that I am also the Son of God. Think of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Indeed, I am truly God, I am the Son of God, but I am not the Father nor the Holy Spirit. Not only am I truly God, but I also became fully human when I was born in Bethlehem. I am not a false or pretended human. I lived life as you should live it. It was essential for me to live life as any other human because of the mission God the Father gave me. I had to experience life the same way you do, without shortcuts or easy paths. When you or I go without food for a while, we feel hunger and weakness. If we work hard or go without sleep, we get tired. When someone hits us, it hurts, and sometimes we bleed. As I am truly human, I also felt hunger, tiredness, and pain. When I was nailed to the cross, I suffered so much and bled so much that I died, as you or anyone else would die. God himself recognizes me as his son, confirming me as a separate person. In Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, he mentioned some important points. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, Philippians 2, 5-11. Being equal to God but humbled as a man is a concept difficult for the human mind to fully grasp, but with the help of God's Spirit, who teaches us deep and spiritual things, understanding will arise in our hearts. When I, the eternal Son of God, took on sinless humanity, I also took on the form of a servant, relinquishing my heavenly glory. Have this same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humility, who, although existing in the form and unchangeable essence of God, as one with him, possessing the fullness of all the divine attributes, the entire nature of deity, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or asserted, as if he did not already possess it or was afraid of losing it. But he emptied himself, without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity, assuming the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men. He became completely human but without sin, being fully God and fully man. After being found in terms of his outward appearance as a man for a divinely appointed time, he humbled himself still further by becoming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, the sovereign God, to the glory of God the Father. Over the years, the mystery of the Trinity has been misunderstood by many. Many find the mystery of the Trinity difficult to understand, and those who cannot comprehend it choose to either accept it as beyond human understanding or actually argue against the reliability of God's written word. Romans 3:3-4 says, "What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every human being a liar." The subject of Jesus' divinity can be confusing for many, but it is actually quite simple. Let us look at it this way. Is it possible for an item to exist as a single entity, but still be seen in different ways? Yes, for example, electricity remains electricity, whether it is at a power plant, in your lamp, or in an outlet. Electricity remains electricity, no matter the channel or amount where we find it. The same is true of water, whether it is present in an ocean, lake, river, spring, or cascading down a waterfall. We all agree that water is a liquid composed of hydrogen and oxygen, but for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. 1 Corinthians 8:6. There is God, who is the Father and creator of the world we live in, but there is also God, the Holy Spirit, and God, the Son, who is the living Word of God that became flesh, John 1:14. But when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, John 15:26. People also ask, if Jesus is God, where was he before creation? Keep watching until the end, and we will answer that question. But first, the truth about the Trinity. The blessing of the Trinity is invaluable. This is why the creation story is a fascinating image of who God is. The Father said, "Let us make mankind in our image." He was speaking with Jesus, the living Word, and his Spirit was the power over the face of the deep. God expressed himself to us through Jesus when he became man. While on earth, he was fully man and fully God. Jesus said, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." John 14:9-10. Sometimes Jesus revealed more of his humanity than his divinity and vice versa. His physical part could cry, fast, eat, walk, pray to the Father, sleep, be beaten, and eventually be killed. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Matthew 4:2-4. Even when it came time to give his life, he hesitated as any human would before a painful death. Taking Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, I asked my disciples to stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, I fell with my face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26:37-39. I knew what it meant to feel pain, shame, and rejection, but I found strength to go forward with my sacrifice in the presence of my Father. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." However, the divine part revealed in me showed that I am indeed part of the Godhead. I could walk on water, turn water into wine, multiply food, and rise from the dead without anyone's prayer of faith. In my revelation to John on the island of Patmos, I declared, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Revelation 1:18. It is interesting to note that even in all these divine actions, as a member of the Godhead, I still showed how you can share in part of my nature. Through the exceedingly great and precious promises, as written in 2 Peter 1-4, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I give lessons on faith, wisdom, gratitude, and prayer, so that you can also live this new life in me in a supernatural way. It is no problem for God the Son to pray or converse with God the Father. They had an eternal relationship before I became man. This relationship is demonstrated in the Gospels so that you can see how the Son of God, in his humanity, fulfilled his Father's will, and by doing so, purchased redemption for his children. The prayer life of Christ empowered and focused his continual submission to the Father. Let us follow his example. It is important to remember that Jesus Christ was no less God when he was on earth and praying to his Father in heaven. His prayer life was a demonstration of his relationship within the Trinity, and also an example for us. Even in sinless humanity, it is necessary to have a vital prayer life to do the Father's will. Therefore, we must trust in God through prayer to obtain the strength and wisdom we need, just as Christ, the divine man, had a vibrant prayer life. Followers of Christ today must follow his example and also have a prayer life. Another question raised is Jesus God? Some people who do not believe Jesus is God argue that he never said he was God. Indeed, the Bible does not record Jesus using the exact words, "I am God," in his teachings or miracles, but that does not mean he never claimed to be God. Jesus claimed to be God. For example, in John 10:30, we read the statement, "I and the Father are one." This is an important statement about Jesus' divinity and the nature of the Godhead. When we say that the Father and the Son are one, we mean that they are equal in nature and essence. The fact that the religious leaders considered it blasphemy for Jesus to say, "I and the Father are one," shows that they understood the statement as something extremely difficult to accept, although their response was incorrect. They understood what Jesus said. The literal translation of that phrase in Greek shows that they picked up stones to stone him, saying it was blasphemy for a man to claim to be equal with God. It is interesting to note that I never showed anger when accused of making myself out to be God. If I were just an ordinary man, no one could see this sin with greater abhorrence. My followers declared me God. John lets us know that I am God. There is a wealth of information about my life and ministry found in the Gospel of John, information that is not present in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, or Luke. My work is considered the simplest, yet the most profound of the four Gospels. In John 1:1-4, it is written, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. I did not have a beginning of my own, but have existed from all eternity. I have always been there, from the beginning of time to as far back as the human mind can go. The Word was with God. I had a separate and distinct personality. I was not just an idea, a thought, or some vague example, but a real person who lived with God. The Word was God. Not only did I dwell with God, but I myself was God. The Bible teaches that there is one God, and that there are three persons in the Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three persons are God." This verse speaks of two of the persons of the Godhead, God the Father and God the Son. This is the first moment that this gospel makes it clear that Jesus Christ is God. It is not enough to say that I am like God or divine, as the Bible says, "I am God." In John 1:3, it is written that through me all things were made. Without me, nothing was made that has been made. Everything came into existence through me. I myself am not a creature, but the creator of all things. This encompasses all things visible and invisible, including but not limited to humanity, animals, celestial bodies, and angels. As the creator, I am, of course, superior to anything I have created. In John 1:4, we read that in me was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. This means not only that I possessed life, but it demonstrates that I was and still am the source of life. The word here includes both physical and spiritual life. When we are born, we receive physical life. When we are born again, we receive spiritual life. Both come from me. John gives us more evidence. John 1:14 says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When I was here on earth, my glory was veiled in a body of flesh, but there were two ways my glory was revealed. First, there was my moral glory. Then there was a visible manifestation of my glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. In Hebrews 1:8, the Father declares about me, but about the Son he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom." I am called God by God. Some people believe that Jesus Christ was nothing more than a man or even an exceptional teacher, but I am, and always have been, much more than that. The Word of God reveals that I am unique, both in my person and in my purpose. During the time I spent on earth, I was not just a spiritual person. I was at the same time the Son of God and God in human flesh. Another question people ask is, where was Jesus before the creation of the world? What happened before creation? In 1 Peter 1:20, it is written that I was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Genesis documents the beginning of creation and human history, but does not cover the events of eternity past, which Moses chose to omit. Before the creation of humanity and the material world, there was a history independent of creation. God existed before even the concepts of energy, time, space, and the universe were spoken into being. The rest of Scripture provides some clues about the history of eternity past that preceded human life. Before the creation of the earth, there was God, and God had majesty with his Son. I explained who I was before the creation of the world. I shared many mysteries with you, including events before creation. The prayer I made in John 17 is one of the most significant chapters in the Bible, considered the most powerful prayer ever made by the greatest person who ever lived. Through this prayer, you can feel my heart as I pray to my Father. The Bible contains many notable prayers, and while we admire the prayers of Solomon, Abraham, and Moses, this specific prayer stands out as the most remarkable recorded in the Bible. I spoke of the splendor and greatness I shared with God the Father before the creation of the world. In John 1:14, it is said, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Before the creation of the earth, God had majesty with his Son. The book of Genesis begins with the creation of man and other creatures, but it is evident that God did not begin there. According to the Bible, God was present at the beginning when the universe was created. According to the Bible, God existed before the creation of the universe. He is described as an eternal being who always existed and always will. This is supported by several verses throughout Scripture. In Genesis 1, the word El is replaced by Elohim, which is a plural noun meaning gods, implying that God is three in one. This grammatical structure may seem incorrect, but it is theologically accurate and signifies the triune nature of God. In the end, we see Jesus in his glory again in the book of Revelation. John documents the things he saw, and he sees a powerful Jesus who is unlike any typical man. John described the powerful voice he heard as distinct and striking as the sound of a trumpet. The powerful voice is that of the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, who is at the beginning and end of everything, because Jesus identified with these names in Revelation 1:8. These are titles that belong to the Lord Yahweh, the God of Israel. The title Alpha and Omega has the same idea as first and last. This is one of the New Testament passages where I clearly claim to be God.